Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, a new design coming to cast member name tags, magic key availability comes and goes.
Pixar Place Hotel gets a new eatery and prepares to debut a major milestone for an upcoming attraction. We talk with Alex and Gretchen about Disneyland's Run Disney event and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome aboard the DL Weekly podcast. Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding. If this is your first time listening, we hope you'll check out our website at dlweekly.net. If you have more time to spend, becoming an official weekly tier at dlweekly.net/support is an especially good value. Thanks for traveling with us today, and we hope you have a happy and memorable listen to this week's episode.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of January 17th, 2024. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Well, this week we would like to thank everyone that supports the show. And especially, we would like to welcome Aaron C. and Ashley A. for becoming official weekly tiers. We'd also like to give a shout out to Vern W., Matt and Rhonda U., Peggy C., and Emily K. for your continued support. If you would like to help support the show and make sure we keep bringing you the latest and greatest news and information, discussion, and interviews about Disneyland, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Now let's get to the news. Ken Potrock revealed a new name tag design coming for cast members at the resort. The new design goes back to the first name of the cast member and their hometown, as opposed to now where it's their favorite character. Which, yeah, I actually thought was a really great conversation piece. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll talk about it. The logo at the top is a colorful design featuring Sleeping Beauty Castle, a Pixar pal around, and the vintage Disneyland Resort sign used in the Disneyland Hotel currently. It's got same kind of, you know, blocky kind of design. The stars around the name tag are also colorful with, of course, the happiest place on earth at the bottom.
I love this. I don't know what it is about this. It's the design. It's the like the happy colors that they used. I like all the little stardust or pixie dust that's around the edges. I think this is so fun. I really like it.
I don't know how to feel about it.
Really?
Yes. There's something about the name tag that, like, trying to keep it like simple and not too much going on is good. But I feel like, because like before, like the color, like it was all kind of like one-ish kind of color where, or it wasn't too like flashy. But I feel like this just has a lot of different colors and stuff going on. Like, I think it looks neat. It's just different and something new, where I feel like a lot of the older ones just were a little bit different and more muted colors and focused on the name.
To me, the biggest difference is the pixie dust, because in this one, the pixie dust is kind of like, it's not just imposing the border, it's kind of coming in towards the middle as well. Whereas all of the older versions, the pixie dust was definitely stuck to the edge and was thinner, I guess would be.
Sure.
Like it was a thinner border band. It was more of a border, whereas this is kind of, like I said, it's kind of almost transitioning into the where the name goes area. But I just really like the colors. I don't know. I think, honestly, whoever has been doing the name tags, I think I really liked the 100, the design for the 100. I mm-hmm. thought that was really a good representation of the celebration. The special one that they just did that they're not allowed to wear in the parks, but they were gifted for the actual 100th anniversary, I really liked. And I think this one's just, it's very cheerful. It just brings a smile to my face. I don't know. I can't put my finger on what it is exactly, but I mean, the castle's there. The classic Disneyland like marquee sign is there.
I do like the classic Disneyland marquee for sure. And they've been putting that on more things, more and more all over the resort in the last few years, merchandise and stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely like that part of it for sure. I guess just for me, I don't know. We'll have to see what it looks like in person. It's mm-hmm. hard when it's just something like a graphic or just quickly in a video or something like that. I'm excited to see what it looks like in person.
Me too. Well, last week, Magic Keys went on sale again for guests who wanted to get in on the program. Well, within 24 hours, all the keys were once again available for renewal only. Disney released a statement on their Magic Key site stating that they have paused new sales to, quote, help protect the experience for Magic Key holders and the value those passes provide, end quote.
So, not surprised. Every time that there's any level of the keys open for sale, seems like they go pretty quick. Obviously, they're trying to keep the level of magic keys because there's always been the rumor that annual pass holders, which this is basically the new version of annual pass, is that there's so many people that have it and there's, days fill up. You don't want to have too many people and not enough reservations available and all of that stuff. So, it doesn't surprise me. It does. I mean, I don't know. We've been talking a lot lately about whether to keep a pass or to go with day things just because they are getting to the point price wise. Now, in the next couple of months, we're probably going to get another price increase because it is usually around the springtime that they raise the prices again. So I just don't know for us what that's going to be like.
Yeah, it's hard because key pricing has gone up, but ticket pricing has gone up. So it's that's just true. Kind of this constant balance of what makes more sense. However, the one big negative that didn't used to be an issue is it's a little bit harder to let the pass go because it's much, much harder to get a new one if you change your mind down the road. Whereas before, if you let your pass lapse, no biggie. Like we would do, we didn't actually do this, but like I was thinking of stuff with the podcast when we started the podcast and I'd gotten my first key. Since we do have gaps in the year that we don't go, say I first got it in, I don't know, August. And then we're going to have a gap and I wasn't going to have a trip between my renewal, say August, and then the following, I don't know, February. You could have just not renewed in August and gotten a new one when you were there in February. You can't do that now.
Yeah.
So you could have little breaks to kind of help with the cost, like kind of put the cost down the road a little bit if you want.
Well, the other thing that's challenging with this too is if you have family members, like people that have become of age that they want to like do this now, you can't get a pass for that person.
And the other thing too that I've been seeing other people talk about is, we had weekly tiers that were in trying to get magic keys because they had somebody come of age. Well, now not only do you maybe not get a pass for that person because they sold out so quickly, but now that person's pass is expiring at a different time than everybody else's, which maybe that's good, maybe that's not good, but it's just another thing to think of. It's tough. I do feel for everyone that was trying to get passes last week because it sounded like it was a bit of a nightmare. I was seeing reports of people being in the virtual waiting room for like 8 hours. We had a weekly tier that was in the virtual waiting room. I don't know how many hours it was, but by the time she went to get the pass, they had already flipped everything to renewal only. So she waited hours and hours and hours for nothing in essence.
You would think
it's tough.
You would think that they could cap it where they're
selling this many passes, so we're only letting that many people in the queue.
And then if a few hours from now or whatever, we had some people didn't buy it, we could reopen it for a certain amount of people later instead of people that end up. I mean, we were just, this happens with all these Disney events as you wait and sometimes you get in and you're like, well, the day I want isn't there. It'd be nice if they had a thing in the queue that was like, this is likely to sell out by the time it gets to you or this day, like on those like Disney, like the After Dark Nights and stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's like this date has sold out. So if that was the date you wanted to go, perhaps you should drop out or something.
They did do that with the After Dark Nights for Oogie Boogie Bash. Mm-hmm. They were kind of updating the calendar. But it's just, it's just hard. Because the other part of it, too, is you can't fully say, oh, we've got, it wasn't this number, a million passes.
No.
So only if a million people get in line, well, how many people are joining on their laptop, on their desktop, on their work computer, on their phone? One person could be in the queue five places, if that makes sense.
But see, this is the other thing.
Maybe per profile.
If Disney, didn't do it this way, it wasn't always done this way. Before, when you wanted a pass, you could just buy a pass. Like I feel like they create these situations that everybody's freaking out about, and because their technology hasn't been great in all of these different things. I mean, we experienced it way back when we first were trying to go to D23. Mm-hmm. They've never been good at everyone trying to buy tickets for them at once, and you'd think that they would have something better.
Oh, but I noticed I was on the site just because I was curious to see. I don't remember what it was. I was on Disneyland, the website, for some reason. The website was even having a little bit of trouble and some issues. And I think I tried going and like everything was just a little not happy that day because so many people were waiting.
People probably going to the website.
So much traffic.
And trying to find where to do it.
Yeah.
Now, I have one more question for you since we're talking about magic keys. And I don't think I've ever asked you this. Why do you think it is that they offer monthly payment plans only in California? Because to me, it shouldn't matter where you live. You should be able to do like a monthly payment plan.
Unless that's just a way to kind of filter.
Hmm. Anyway, I mean, it was just something that I wonder about because I'm like, what's the point? Who cares? Like, I don't know. Okay.
I don't know.
If somebody knows, email us, feedback@dlweekly.net.
Unless it's just some, you know, a nice little perk for locals. I guess I don't know.
There's a new eatery which just opened at the Pixar Place Hotel. The Sketchpad Cafe is just outside of the Great Maple Restaurant and offers quick service breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The breakfast menu features Roken Wagner bakery breads, which apparently is very popular in Southern California, and a large assortment of standard breakfast fare.
This space looks so cute. So we were over at Pixar Place. Ooh, that was December. No, not December. That was our October trip, checking it out, and it wasn't finished, but they were working on it, and you could tell, like, ooh, this is gonna be like a little breakfast nook kind of thing. It just had that vibe. It looked like it was gonna be like
a coffee shop or
something. We knew it wasn't gonna be like a continental breakfast style thing, but it kind of had that feel where it was like very casual. There was a counter, and then you went and found your seat. That sort of thing. It's super cute, though. I really liked the little pops of color and all the little Pixar details that are in the space. Again, like the rest of the hotel, it's not completely saturated. It's like little hints, little pops, but done in a nice way. So the Sketchpad Cafe, what a cute name.
Yeah, I think they did a really nice job naming it. It is kind of a cute little space. I'm glad that this hotel is finally getting some places that people like want to go and spend time and visit. Because I remember like for so many years, we've always been like, oh, the Paradise Pier Hotel or the Pixar Pier Hotel or, you know, all the different names it's been through. It's like, okay, like there's nothing over there to go see. It's not that exciting. But now they're starting to add cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So we've heard such great things about Great Maple from a bunch of people. We had the donuts from there. Somebody got us some donuts, and those were great, the pomegranate donuts. Mm-hmm. And now there's like a little cafe. It's so cute.
Plus the little shop that's there, too.
Yeah, they did a great job.
I think
job.
It's fun because I've even seen some friends online that are locals that are going to Great Maple just, you know, to celebrate events or just for – they're not even staying at the hotel. They're just going to enjoy the venue,
atmosphere.
I guess, would be a good way of saying it. Yeah, I think that's so fun. Well, speaking of Pixar Place Hotel, we are coming up on the Pixar Place Hotel officially opening to guests, and a focal point for the hotel is nearing completion. The mobile that will be in the main lobby area has begun to take shape. The stained glass looking characters have been hung from the ceiling, and all that remains is the installation of the large Luxo Jr. balancing atop the Luxo ball. So the lamp on the ball, the classic icon for Pixar. Yeah. I still remember seeing that short the first time. I was in my grandparents' living room, and I remember seeing it and just being like, I don't know, there was something about it that I just really, really enjoyed. So this will be cool, I think, when it all comes together.
It will be cool. And then the mobile stuff looks pretty cool. It looks like stained glass things hanging from the ceiling. I know that there was some concern online a little bit that people were saying that they kind of were wondering if this was ever going to come to be because it seemed like they were taking a long time. And a lot of the hotel had already kind of been finished for the most part.
Yeah.
But yep, they're still working on it. And so
it's coming.
It's coming along.
It's like this is the final piece for the, which I guess makes sense because it's the main entryway.
Yeah.
So it's the final piece before
it's
the
focal point
it
for
is,
sure.
It is. These are just fun because I don't know if people remember what the concept art looks like. Of course, we do have a link in our show notes if you want to see what the actual installed pieces hanging there look like. But they're very, very abstract images of classic characters, but you can still tell what they are. Like, I mean, Buzz Lightyear here is almost like egg-shaped, but he's still recognizable. You know, it's Buzz. Same with like Woody and Bo Peep. Mm-hmm. They're just very different shapes and versions of themselves, yet you know exactly who they are. There are some that are much more recognizable, like Eve and Wall-E.
Yeah. I saw in one of the articles that we have linked that it was called pop art is the kind of style, I suppose. But yeah, I think it looks really nice. I like the fact that it's, you know, fancy in a way. Like, it's not just the characters in stained glass or something. It is kind of like a stylized version, which I think adds some fun to it.
I didn't really. There's a Soul. Okay, so some of the movies that I'm seeing represented, of course, was WALL-E and Toy Story. I see The Incredibles represented. I see Finding Nemo. But there's also characters from Soul that are up there.
Ratatouille, and Coco, and Monsters, Inc.
Coco. Yep, and Monsters, Inc. I was looking at the actual mobile.
Yeah.
I don't see photos of the Ratatouille ones in here.
Isn't that him right there? Isn't that the...
Where?
What? Oh, that's a
That's
guitar.
Dante.
Okay. I thought I saw one earlier, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
Well, we'll have to go see it in person and find out for sure.
I think somebody got confused. Someone put... In this article, they say, the final mobiles includes a mixture of characters. Miguel and Hector from Coco and Remy from Ratatouille. I don't think that's Remy. I think that's Dante.
Yeah. Because there's a guitar behind him. Like Remy.
Yeah, because I think that's... Well, I think it's this. I think it's Dante, but that's Miguel with his guitar behind him.
Sure. So the photo
but yeah,
is
think
weird.
I think it's Dante. I don't think that's Remy.
No, I
do think
either.
Remy should have been up there with a mobile, but I think it's just the mobiles representing Coco. Let us know what you think in the comments.
Yes.
Is it Remy or is it Dante?
Well, there's a lot going on at Downtown Disney and even more to come. Well, Tortilla Joe's has a closing date of March 31st. Earl of Sandwich will be moving again and relocated to a space by the Star Wars Trading Post by the end of February. Poor Earl of Sandwich. I just feel like, can they just get a spot and can they like sign like a 100-year lease and never move?
Yeah, yeah. I think the writing was on the wall and it shouldn't come as a surprise, but I'm really sad about Tortilla Joe's. I really thought Tortilla Joe's and the new, what is it, Centrico, I thought they could have existed in the same space because one's upscale, one's more casual. I could see both of them working very well. In fact, Downtown Disney needs more reasonably priced eateries. We don't need more high-end spendy eateries.
Agreed.
So everyone knew this was coming. I was holding out hope that this wasn't going to happen and that Tortilla Joe's was there to stay. I was wrong. But yes, I agree. Poor Earl of Sandwich. Yes, getting bounced all over the place. I'm curious. I don't know this for sure. This is not confirmed, but I feel like the menu might be a little slightly shorter in the new temporary space because it is kind of more of a...
It's like a food truck.
It's kind of more like a food truck setup than what they've got currently at their current temporary location and different even from... It's not like they're just occupying a space that was a restaurant. This is, yeah, more like you said, like a food truck.
All I got to say is, and I'm sure that there are going to be fans that are going to be like, well, you just don't know, but I just hope Porto's is worth it because that's coming to where Earl of Sandwich is now.
This is a complete side off of that.
Okay.
So... As everyone knows, we were planning this past weekend to go to Chicago to see the Disney 100 exhibit. Well, if you saw Instagram, you saw the update that we had a lovely winter storm come through. So
it was terrible.
It was really, really, really nasty. So we weren't able to go. But when I was looking at stuff and planning stuff out, do you know what's right up the road from
Porto's?
The Disney 100 exhibit? There's a Porto's, I think. I got to double
you
check.
You think?
Because maybe I was looking at it wrong, but I think... We'll have to dig into it because that might be another fun little Disney-esque
thing that we can add
thing
to it
that we might be able to do.
All I know is it better be really good because everybody makes a big deal about it. And so I just want to.
Nope. Lied. No Porto's.
No Porto's.
I saw something else
it's
on the map.
California.
Never mind. Scratch that reverse.
That's right. You were all excited for pizza. You said there was a good deep dish pizza place.
I know, but I thought, ooh. I saw something on the map as I was like figuring out where stuff was. And it looked like it said Porto's. Apparently, I read it wrong and I was just really hoping.
That's
so I was
right.
Like, oh, we could get that like on the way to the museum for like a breakfast kind of a thing. But nope. We're just going to have to wait till we're in California. Well, a rather substantial addition has come to Tiana's Bayou Adventure. The water tower for the new attraction has been installed, topped with Tiana's crown and all. Other than the removal of the tree stump at the top of the old Splash Mountain, this is the largest change to the exterior of the upcoming attraction thus far.
You know what's interesting? So I was watching David at Fresh Bake's video, his construction video today, and they changed something about the water tower. Did you see this?
No.
So the one in Walt Disney World, this is really dumb, but the one in Walt Disney World has the letters that make up Tiana and like all of the sign on the thing. One of the versions, I can't remember what I'm talking about. One of the versions, the letters are the non-painted areas, and the other version, the letters are the painted areas. So it's reversed. So David was pointing it out, and I was like, I wonder why they made this decision to... So see, the one at Disneyland, the letters are... Yeah,
is not,
but everything painted. That's white there is not white in Disney World. It's reversed.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't know what the point of that is, but it's cool. He also showed some pictures from the Magic Kingdom version of Splash Mountain that's being converted, and they're about 5 or 6 months ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness, the exterior is looking gorgeous.
Yeah.
So is it that weird?
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Curious. I wonder why they decided to flip it.
I don't know. But what do you feel about the water tower coming to Splash Mountain or Tiana's Bayou Adventure?
I have a hard time. I'm really, I don't know why. I'm having a hard time envisioning all of this. So I'm just excited to see it all come together. I'm glad that we get to see Walt Disney World's coming together ahead of ours. So then it helps me visualize things better. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's exciting.
It is exciting. It means that we're just getting closer. I'm really excited to see what this all looks like in the end, basically. Yeah.
Did you see, okay, this is Walt Disney World's version, but of course, I'm sure it'll be coming to ours. There's a couple of characters that were installed and that people could peek through the...
I saw that there was glass bottles hanging from the drop thing.
Nope, didn't see that. No, this was, it looked like it looked like the Tiana and Naveen version of the frogs.
Oh,
I don't know where if it is this? Tiana and Naveen as frogs, or if they're just frogs that look like they're froggy versions. But yes, I did see that.
Where did you see this?
Disneyland News Today would have.
Because this is from the model, but then
I love how somebody like super zoomed in to. But then that at the
isn't this gorgeous? By the way, I mean I think it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But there they are. There's little bottles hanging. So what is this now?
So it's somebody peeking through the fence at Walt Disney World,
like you do,
version, and they spied the backs of two frog characters that have been installed, and they look like the frog versions of Princess Tiana and Prince Naveen. Now, whether or not that's who they're supposed to represent or if they're just supposed to look like the frog versions, we will find out when the attraction opens and we understand the crazy storyline a little bit. I'm still very confused by the storyline. So,
yeah, because it wouldn't be weird that they would become frogs again.
I don't know why they'd be frogs again, but what do I know? So, anyways, they're frog characters, and that's what they're giving me the vibes of. Is that they?
I mean, that's definitely what it looks like.
Yeah. So, anyways, so it's unclear if you can. We'll put a link for the article. It's unclear if they're if they're movable, if they're like animatronics, or if they're just figures. But
sure.
Still.
All right. Well, I know we normally keep this stuff for Snack Chat, but we have an entire foodie guide to go through today. So we're going to talk about this in the regular news. A handful of new menu items have come to various locations around the resort. Teresa made fun of me because as I was writing this, I was like, this is so good.
I knew there was one thing that we'll get to that as soon as I read it, I'm like,
oh, yeah,
that's got tag written all over it.
So at Red Rose Tavern, a new Viva La Bacon burger and spiced lamb and sausage flatbread has been added. At the Hungry Bear, a churro funnel cake with vanilla ice cream is available. Mickey-shaped grape beignets are at the Mint Julep Bar. A couple varieties of chicken tenders and a Pib Extra Float have come to the Golden Horseshoe. Over at the Refreshment Corner, a chili cheese potato dog and a pepperoni Mickey-shaped pretzel are on the menu. Over at Disney California Adventure, a s'mores banana split and a butter cake is at Clarabelle's. Smoke Jumper's Grill has a raspberry cheesecake shake. Aunt Cass's Cafe has an upside-down pineapple bread pudding. Finally, the Cozy Cone have a banana split churro and a loaded fried tamale.
I can't. Okay, I was going to say, if you could pick just one thing to try, what would you pick? And then as you're going, I'm like, yep, I think that's the... maybe I want that. Oh, no. And no. Then we got to the end. I'm like, no, I definitely need to be able to pick two. So
hold on. I want you to pick some.
A sweet and a savory.
Yeah. A sweet, a savory, and like a drinkish thing.
You just want to pick three.
Well, there's only one. So what's your sweet? What's your sweet?
I think my sweet that I want to try from this is the upside down pineapple bread pudding.
That does sound delicious. I want to try the butter
cake. A close second would have been the s'mores banana split.
I want to try the butter cake, which is basically a strawberry shortcake.
God, but that...
Because it's got strawberry whipped cream.
The banana split churro looks pretty fun.
See, but
too.
Banana flavor can always be like iffy.
That's true.
Okay, so what about your savory?
My savory, hands down, is the loaded fried tamale.
Oh, yeah, of course. I should have guessed that.
For me,
it's the pepperoni Mickey pretzel, which somebody had a review and they said it was really good.
Yep.
They said there was the marinara that comes with it was a slightly spicy marinara. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no, they've ruined it. But they said actually it wasn't too spicy. So I was like, okay, I can do this. And then I did not know this. This Pib Extra Float means that the Golden Horseshoe has Pib Extra on tap, which means that on our trips, we're going to have to stop here because I'm a Dr. Pepper / Pib / Doc 360 / whatever version of Dr. Pepper they might have fan. And when I'm at Disneyland, all I can drink is specialty drinks or Sprite. And gosh darn it, I kind of get sick of Sprite. So I feel like I'm going to have to swing in here. And also the idea of it as a float, I have to get that.
I know.
But I might want to get just a soft drink here.
I'm very interested in a...
You knew I was going to...
Oh, 100%.
You're like, oh, they do have some.
I was reading
this
article when we were gathering the news, and I saw that. I was like, well, I know what Tag's going to be excited about in this article.
Well, you're going to be proud of me because I have quite the list of stuff for Snack Chat today, too, by the way. I went and did my research early.
It looks so good. Well, speaking of... lots of options. So many new ears are coming to the resort. They're there. A large variety of ears has come to the resort, ranging from light up Disneyland Resort icons to Nightmare Before Christmas to Frozen and more. Prices range $34.99 to $44.99.
All right, since you're the ear person, what's the ear band that's screaming to you?
That's speaking to me? Okay, so...
Screaming, not speaking, screaming.
I think it is interesting that we have another version of the Disneyland Castle in D that was two years ago now.
Oh, yeah. That was a great selection, though.
Yeah, that was kind of its own thing. So I thought that was interesting. I really like the R2-D2 ears.
It looks like it's, like, staring at you funny,
though.
Yeah,
it does look kind of like it's got eyes. But I think it's so cute. And the bow is a little different, too, because the new bows on the lounge flies are... a little bit, I'm going to call them oversized, I guess. They're just a little bit larger of a bow, but I think that's the one. The princess ones are very nice, too. I do like the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs one.
I will say I like the ears and the design on the ears of the Disneyland Resort Icons headband,
but
I don't like the bow.
Oh, sure.
The bow's throwing me off, but I do like this with the castle and the Matterhorn. Really digging that. And then the Pixar Pal around with Carthay Circle also looks really cool. I don't know. I like that. I think there's so much detail, actually, in these like little things, but enjoy it.
I'm curious what they look like when they're lit up.
Yeah, that would be good, too. Well, it's that time again. We are hosting our public live stream this Sunday. We also host a cast member and above hangout about an hour and a half beforehand that is for the cast member level of supporters and above, where we get on a Zoom call and we chit-chat about different things. But this Sunday, the public live stream on YouTube will be going as well. So join us on our YouTube channel, 5:30 p.m. Disneyland time. We'll be talking about our 2024 Disneyland plans.
Oh, you heard that right. We finally actually figured out a rough schedule of what we want this year to look
like. Broad strokes. Yes. We have rough time frames for sure within like a week.
Which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yoo-hoo! Hello, everybody. It's me, Heimlich. Mein stomach is so empty. Hey, help me to go find something to eat. Come on, everybody. Here we go.
Well, this Snack Chat, we, of course, are talking about the new Lunar New Year foodie guide that dropped this last week. And man, I tell you what, if we could, I wish Lunar New Year is like top of my list for us to go, because every time it just looks like such a fun time. The foods they always come up with for this festival, always so many delightful choices, fun entertainment. I'm sad that it's actually not. So I'm a dragon. That's my symbol. So we could have gone this year.
I'm the year of the rooster.
This is the year of the dragon celebration. Anyways,
so James,
one of these years, one
James
of these times,
was laughing at me today because I was going through. I was being a good podcast co-host, and I was doing like I normally do not do with the foodie guides. And I actually went through and made a list of food that I'm excited for. And I was cursing that. Spoiler for this weekend's stream, we are not going during the Lunar New Year Fest when any of this food is available. So most of the stuff on my list is available January 23rd through February 18th. So January 23rd through February 18th or February 29th on some things, but basically not when we're going to be there. So I'm so sad because some of these sound so good. I also limited myself. I only picked things that said it was new.
Ooh,
because there were some things that I thought sounded good, but were not new. One of the things being what's kind of right there at the bottom of your menu, the butter or the garlic noodles, which I've never had, but I've heard good things about. So what's on your, what's one or two things on your list? And then I'll go a couple things on my list.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So are we going to go, let's go through each of the booths.
Okay.
So over at Bamboo Blessings, there's a Taro Vietnamese style iced coffee. So obviously
that, yeah, would, I was
be,
like,
that would be on my list. It's a Vietnamese-style coffee, cocoa powder, and condensed milk garnished with a taro chocolate sweet cream. Yum. There's also a Lunar New Year punch, which is mango nectar, tangerine, and grapefruit juices, and banana and coconut syrups garnished with mango jellies. What is that? I need to try that. That sounds like...
Sounds like something.
Yum. Yum, yum, yum. So those are the things that I'm excited about for that booth. I don't think there is anything... there.
Nothing else for me.
There's a strawberry milk tea macaron.
At Longevity Noodle Company, there is a shrimp lo mein noodles, which are pan-fried lo mein noodles with sautéed shrimp garnished with green onions. I love green onions. I love shrimp. I love lo mein noodles. And that is a new item. It's available January 23rd through February 18th, so I'm going to miss it. But, oh, man, it sounds so good. Like, my mouth's watering right now thinking about it.
Then at Lucky 8 Lantern, this is not new, but I'm just curious about this quesabirria egg roll.
I was also curious about it. Does that have the dipping sauce too?
Yes, it does have the consommé as well. And also not new, but the mandarin orange mousse cake. I remember talking about that last year as well. That looked really yummy.
I would have
really
put
yummy.
Those on my list, but I was trying to limit myself to the new stuff.
I know. But Prosperity Bao and Buns. This looks so, you've got this on your list too.
I do.
Just the photo of it just looks amazing. It's actually the cover photo for the foodie guide for the Lunar New Year, because that's how delicious this looks. The Kung Pao Bao, and it's actually a plant-based chicken, toasted peanuts, and scallions, but the sauce, I don't know what it is. It just looks amazing.
Yeah, I looked at it and I was like, first of all, I usually don't, well, I have a lot of chicken dishes in my life, so like I usually steer away from chicken because I feel like I have a lot of chicken. But this is plant-based chicken, which I don't think I've ever had plant-based chicken. And every time I've tried Teresa's meat-based things that are not meat,
the fake beef.
Yeah, the
stuff,
vegetarian option. It's been really good, so that's why I put that on there. Also, the barbecue pork bun with kimchi mayo and garlic chili crunch, also. My mouth is literally watering as I'm saying this. That's also a Prosperity Bao and Buns, and that just sounds so good.
Red Dragon Spice Traders. This, I don't, so I would try this, but I'm also a little, I don't know. I don't know if I'm a tofu person or not, but they have spicy fried rice with tofu and crispy peas. I don't know if I'm, I don't know if I like tofu or not, but I'm curious about that one.
Tofu, I feel like, it really depends on how it's prepared, because I feel like a lot of times it's like the texture is kind of off-putting and it really has no flavor, so it takes on the flavor of whatever you cook it in. So wrapped with love, I have the steamed pork and vegetable dumplings with black garlic sauce. You know what also doesn't help with all of this is we had ramen at a place for dinner last night, and so all of the flavor, like the black garlic stuff, was like in my mind already. So the fact that like there's this stuff, I'm like, oh, that was so good. I'll bet you this is going to be even better.
There's also a couple of drinks over at Wrapped with Love that sound delicious that are new this year. There's the Yuja Pineapple Cooler. I may have gotten that wrong, but it's pineapple juice, Yuja Puree, rice milk, and condensed milk garnished with cherry and coconut foam. And there's also a raspberry oat milk tea that is made with Joffrey's Coffee and Tea Company, Ceylon Tea, Raspberry, Damara syrups, and oat milk garnish with skewered rat. I don't know what it is with me and the specialty drinks that they come out with these, but I just want to try them all.
We like all the food that is also hard to pronounce, apparently.
That's true.
That is now, okay, though. Boardwalk Pizza and Pasta has some stuff. I want to try the bulgogi pizza, which has marinated beef and spicy corn, but I'll get over it. A cheese sauce topped with green onion, available by slice or the whole pie. At Boardwalk Pizza and Pasta. This one is one of the ones that's available for longer. It's available through February 29th.
Oh, there you go.
There was also a dessert thing, but I don't think it was new. It was the milk tea taro cheesecake, which is a milk tea cheesecake with taro mousse that also looked kind of good, but it wasn't new, so I didn't put it on my list.
The cappuccino cart has a green tea orchata, I'm like super curious about that one as well. Not new, but still sounds delicious. And then Lamplight, can we talk about these? Vern and I tried these last year, and they were honestly one of the most delicious things I think I've ever eaten at the resort. They were so good. The Kung Pao Bao is back, and it's Kung Pao Blaze Crispy Pork Belly, Soft Bao Bun, Red Peppers, Toasted Peanut, and Green Onions. Hmm. They were so good. Oh my gosh. So good. But they do have some new dishes that I'd be curious to try as well. There's spicy Don Don noodles, crispy pork belly and noodles tossed in a spicy Szechuan sauce paired with carrots, cucumber, and crispy shallots garnished with green onions and micro cilantro. Look at this though. Yum.
Yeah. Too many spicy words in there. That's the only reason I didn't pick that.
Sure. And then also, I mean, it's Lamplight, so we have to try the specialty donuts. They have milk tea and taro donuts, which look like they're just...
I'm sure they're great.
Yum. Just
I still
yum.
Want my cookies and cream donuts to come back so I can actually try them. Paradise Garden Grill, there is something that I have on there. The bulgogi... Apparently, I like bulgogi. The bulgogi fried rice with kimchi, egg, pickled cucumber, green onion, and sesame seeds. It's plant-based.
Yes.
And it's mobile order available there as well. Paradise Garden Grill,
That one also made it on my list because that one just sounds and looks so good. Plus, I love that they have so many plant-based options, and it's not just, I don't want to say boring plant-based options, but they're like, yum, look at this thing, and how cool is it that it's plant-based? Yeah. I love that.
And finally, for me, I have the shrimp. This is also Paradise Garden Grill. The shrimp lo mein, which you may think sounds like the shrimp lo mein noodles that I said at the top of the whole thing. But no, this one is lo mein noodles tossed with shrimp mushrooms, which I know Teresa can't eat, cabbage, corn, and bell pepper. Also, mobile order available. Both of these sound good. I'm so mad that we're not there for this because all of this sounds amazing. I wish some of these items would come and be there permanently.
Yep, just be there for the year. Let's just celebrate the entire year. And then finally, at Pim Test Kitchen, they have an almond cold brew. So it's made with almond cold brew, almond milk, and red foam with blue and gold sugar. I'm very curious about this one, too. It actually, for Pim, this sounds like a pretty straightforward, simple cold brew, because usually theirs are kind of a little more...
What was the one that I had there? Was it the...
It was like a cookies and cream.
That was so good.
It was a cookies and cream one, but yeah,
so good.
Delicious. And then around the resort, there's all sorts, like even the carts have stuff. So select outdoor vending carts have bao buns. There's baked brown sugar, like a dessert. It's a baked sticky rice cake topped with brown sugar. They have different types of turkey legs, all sorts of stuff. So I think it's interesting that it's not just that they're including the outdoor carts for more of these things too. There's more churros, of course. It looks like, what was the almond churro that we just had for
it was just an almond
time?
Churro. It was an almond cookie churro.
Oh.
So this has cookie, this version has cookie crumble.
Got it. Okay.
But the almond icing, I think, and the roasted almonds were on the other one before. This one just adds the cookie crumble.
Got it. Okay. There's also an orange ginger churro. There's a dragon fruit churro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The dragon fruit churro also sounded like it could be good.
Yeah. But. I would definitely try that. But so many delicious things coming to Lunar New Year. We're sad that we're not able to go and taste and experience all the fun that there is to be had at Lunar New Year ourselves. But if you're going and if you're planning to go or if you go, let us know if you try any of these delicious, amazing sounding
and
items.
Lie to us, tell them it was all terrible so we don't feel bad about it.
But yeah. Oh, man. It just looks amazing. This looks like such a great festival. Ooh. We have made it to all, I think as of now, we have been able to make it out for all of the other festivals. Lunar New Year is the last one, and maybe we saved the best for last, because I'm telling you, these foodie guides. Yum.
Well, in episode 222, we spoke with Debbie and Steve over at Designer Park Company about their rope drop bag that we use and love. If you've been wanting to get one of these park goer bags for yourself, you can use our promo code DLWeekly to get 10% off your purchase over at designerparkco.com.
You need to go check them out on Instagram, because Debbie has been showing off some of the other things that they have been working on. So it all started with the rope drop bag, then they added the Master Gracie. Well, they also have a crossbody bag. There's like a fanny pack kind of style bag that they're going to be coming out with too. There's even a travel bag that you can travel with your ears.
What is
all
this
sorts
business?
Of stuff. That's like a little rain jacket for your backpack too.
What?
Yeah, they're coming out with all sorts of stuff. Not everything is on their website just yet, but she just did a live, it was either this last weekend or maybe it was the weekend before, showing off all of the new stuff that's coming, and it's very, very exciting.
Mm. Always come up with cool stuff over there.
Yeah.
Pilots, we've detected some producer questions near Jakku. Report to your DL Weekly vessels and make the jump to hyperspace. The 77 Squadron will provide support during your trivia mission. Good luck. And may the Force be with you.
Welcome to Trivia Land, where we've got some great listener-submitted questions that are great questions. I like them. Are you ready to test your brains and see what you got?
As much as we ever are.
I don't know if it's a good sign that Vern likes the questions, or if we should be scared.
I always appreciate listener-submitted questions, because, you know, I mean, I think that I come up with good questions, but the listeners, their brains work differently than mine do, and they come up with really interesting stuff, where as I'm reading the questions, I'm like, I would have never thought to ask that. This is amazing. So I'm excited. So
all right,
let's see where we go tonight. Your first listener-submitted question from listener Elise K. What two musical instruments, or it could be said instruments of music, can be found in Walt's apartment on Main Street?
Well, there's like a phonograph. Is that what it's called? Where it has that big
cornucopia
looking thing. I think it's a phonograph.
You said what? Musical instruments?
Musical instrument, or it could be said instrument of music.
Okay. So like, is there like a piano?
I don't think there's a piano, because I feel like that would have to be.
It's
big,
too bad we have not gone on the tour that allows us to go up into his apartment, so we would
one of these
have
days.
A better idea. Hmm.
Are you going with phonograph as well for one?
Well, I'm the how did you say that? Musical instrument or instrument of music is throwing me. Because musical instrument would be something like a guitar or a harmonica or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. But the instrument of music, I'm like, is that Vern just being silly, or would that be, like you said, like
reading the question as it was submitted?
As it was submitted, even. I know there's a phonograph up there because I've seen it in photos. So that's why I'm saying phonograph.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's called, but I hope that Vern would give us the point if, like, we described the thing properly but didn't know the exact name.
It's like what the Swiskopolkas used to play on.
Is that a phonograph?
In Tarzan's treehouse.
Sure.
I'm going to say that there's a musical, like an actual
instrument?
Like
what?
Like I'm scratching my head here, because I'm trying to think of any photos I've seen of Walt's family, if anybody had an instrument. I feel like piano's always the easy go-to, but like you said, it'd be hard to have a piano up there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just go with it. That's my gut. I'm going to go with piano. Okay. It might be something silly and small, like a harmonica.
And a phonograph?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll jump on the piano thing too. So we're both saying phonograph and piano.
Okay, so phonograph and piano, final answers.
Yeah.
Final.
All right. Your second regular round question, also from listener Elise K. Walt gifted one of these items to Lillian. Which one was the gift?
Oh, no. So, if we didn't get it right the first time, we're not getting it right the second time.
I don't know.
Time.
I'm going to say phonograph.
Cause... I was going to say the piano.
Okay. So, if one of the two answers are right, one of us is right on the second
one. I'm not very confident at all. That's okay.
All right. So, Tag's saying the phonograph and Teresa's saying the piano. Final answers.
Yeah.
Final.
All right. Your third regular round question from listener Cooper C. Who was the lyricist for the Big Thunder Mountain theme song?
Oh, man.
You may recall a few weeks ago I asked you about the Big Thunder Mountain theme song. Mm-hmm. Did you know that it even had lyrics?
No.
No.
Yeah, that was a question a few weeks ago. Well, now I want to know who wrote those lyrics.
I feel like Vern told us who wrote the lyrics.
Probably.
When he gave us the answer, but...
Probably.
Gosh knows.
I have no idea.
Hmm.
I have no idea. I'm going with stumped.
I will also go with stumped.
Okay. Stumped and stumped. Final answers?
Yes.
Final.
So the most we can get is 50%.
All right. And your fourth and final regular round question... From listener Austin T. What are the only two types of animals allowed into Disneyland as service animals?
Dogs.
Two types.
And you know what? You know what I think it might be? So this is silly because I was looking this up online because somebody was mentioning bringing a dog on a cruise. Isn't it like, what is it, miniature ponies?
Really?
Yeah, something silly like that. So I'm going to say miniature pony. I don't know what you're going to say, Teresa.
For sure, dogs.
Yep.
I'm just leaving it at dogs.
Just dogs?
Yeah. Because, like, I'm trying to think of other animals. Like, I don't think I've ever heard of a cat as a service animal.
Right.
Maybe.
An emotional support animal, maybe.
Yeah, an emotional support. But I don't think like a service animal. And I don't think like a bird. I'm trying to think of like what. What are, like a rabbit? No. Like, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of other pets. You might not be wrong with your horse.
Miniature pony.
Your miniature pony.
It's like literally what I think the actual term is, which I was like, I don't even know what that is, but okay.
I'm just going to leave it at dog.
Okay. So Teresa's just saying dogs. I'm saying dogs and miniature pony. Final answer.
Okay. Final answer.
I'm really curious what the answer is for this one.
Yeah, me too.
And a bonus question tonight. From listener Becca C. What is the highest calorie food item at Disneyland?
Oh, that's a good question. My biggest thing is, how did she figure this out? But, let's see.
And this one was hard to verify. I had fun vetting this answer.
The highest calorie. Is it something common or obscure?
It is a common food item that you have seen me consume most trips.
Oh.
Which tells you it's not a churro because I've had a churro every trip.
Is
it a turkey leg?
Could be. That seems like it would make sense.
I'm going to go with turkey leg. That seems really like it shouldn't be that, but I'm going to go with...
But I feel...
Is it a chimmy? No, you haven't had a chimmy.
A breakfast chimmy?
You have not had a chimmy that often.
Yeah, but I feel like he hasn't had a... turkey that leg that often either.
That used to be one of his go-tos.
Okay, well, I will say turkey leg then as well.
Yeah,
you know Vern better than
I used to have the chimney every trip, too.
Mm. You've had the chimney like once, maybe twice.
Okay.
Two or three times I can think of.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe it is the chimney then.
Okay, but I'm just going to
I'm sticking with turkey leg just because it's
I'm
going to
stick with the turkey leg too because of its massive size.
Also had the entire taco platter at Rancho Socalo.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Not to mention the like nacho. I mean, you haven't, but just in general.
The food item.
Hmm.
Well, because the other thing, too, is like just think about like the
ice
loaded
cream
nachos sundaes. Or whatever.
Dang. I don't know.
The question is highest calorie food item.
Highest calorie food item.
I'm just going to stick with the turkey leg.
Yeah,
we
me
can
too.
Say guess ourselves all day.
Yep.
Final answer.
Final answer, turkey leg.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Well, see. Listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Stick around until after the discussion topic, and we will all find out together.
Well, this week, we are super excited to have not one, but two weekly tiers coming on to tell us about their very recent experience at the Disneyland Half Marathon. So welcome to you both, Gretchen and Alex. Thanks for joining.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Well, so we have had Alex on the podcast before, but Gretchen, I think this is your first time on DL Weekly, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Super. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, we'll go ahead and do our normal getting to know you questions. Alex, you can answer however you want since you've gone through this already. But yeah, we'll get started.
What is your Disney story? Kind of what got you interested in Disney? And since this is talking about like the marathon and run Disney, maybe talk a little bit about what got you interested in running, because I know that that's a different journey for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. So I prepared a little bit and I asked my mom, when did I first go to Disneyland? And she said, in utero. So I really don't ever remember a time not going to Disneyland. We grew up just a few miles north and many, many happy memories of Girl Scouts and school and band. You know, for our eighth grade graduation, we got to go. We did Magic Music Days behind the scenes. I marched down Main Street several times with our marching band. My sister worked there when she was in college, so I got to go hang out while she was working sometimes. I always loved Disneyland, and I never really, really appreciated it until I moved to Wisconsin. And as you all know, it's kind of hard to get there from Wisconsin, so I definitely got homesick for it. But now that I'm back on the West Coast, it's a lot easier to get there. And now that I have my kids, it's a whole different magical experience to go with them. But just like this weekend, I definitely go on my own and enjoy my time there as a grown-up and meeting and connecting with new friends like Alex.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Alex, what's your Disney story?
I was introduced to Disney back in, I guess, 1999. That's when I went to Disney World for the first time. I know I kind of already said this, but long story short, since then I've been hooked. I've loved the Haunted Mansion. Everyone who has ever heard anything I've ever said knows I love the Haunted Mansion. So that's kind of my thing. I just actually moved to California about a year and a half ago and closer to Disney. So I love that. And I go somewhat quite often, about every couple months. I actually just got back from Disney. So yeah, that's just kind of my story pretty quick there.
And when Alex says he loves the Haunted Mansion, he means he loves the Haunted Mansion so much so that you just started a Haunted Mansion themed podcast called Swinging Wake.
Yes. So, yeah, just started the Swinging Wake podcast with Chris, and it's kind of still getting on its feet. We released our first episode about a week ago and looking forward to releasing a new episode next week.
It sounded great.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, awesome. I was nervous our first pilot episode, so I'm glad people like it.
So, moving into kind of more of the park stuff, let's talk about how you like to visit the park. So, Gretchen, when it's your first day at Disneyland, which way do you like to go? So, we've kind of backed this question up. Do you like to go under the left or the right tunnel? And then once you get through, what's your plan of attack? Do you go left towards Adventureland, forward to Fantasyland, right to Tomorrowland? What do you like
to
do?
I mentioned to my sister this question, and she like blinked at me and she's like, obviously you go left. Why would you go any other direction? But it's with the giant caveat that if you're staying on property, you have to go right because that's the only way that's open. And I know it was that way in Paris and maybe it was that way in Florida too, that they opened Tomorrowland early. So any Disneyland is better than no Disneyland. So I will happily go over to Space Mountain first and then queue up for a rope drop in the back to head to the left. But otherwise, yeah, for the tunnels, left tunnel, and then I go to the left and straight through Adventureland and onto New Orleans Square.
There you go.
How about you, Alex?
Yes, I go through the right tunnel by the Disneyana, right? So I do that and then obviously go left towards Haunted Mansion. I got to do Haunted Mansion. So it's my first and last attraction. So usually go right towards Haunted Mansion, get that over with, and then do Pirates and then kind of see where the Disney winds blow, you know?
There you go.
Awesome. Well, this question is going to be an easy one. So, Alex, we already know your answer. But Gretchen, what's your favorite Disney attraction? So even though it's a Disneyland podcast, this could be attractions from any Disney park.
Yeah, it changes with the time. When I was younger, I would definitely have said Star Tours because I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And being able to feel like I was part of the story was just so magical for me. But I'm really not a fan of the new stuff that they've done with it. And I think the whole getting older and having kids, I'm much more driven by nostalgia. So not to be too much just like Alex, but Haunted Mansion is completely my favorite attraction as well. Followed by a close section of Pirates. I could just hang out in New Orleans Square all day, every day. And if, you know, I'm lucky enough to get into Club 33, then, you know, you have all three things that are the best in the parks right there for you.
No judgment here. Since,
good choices. Yeah, good choices.
Since you're amongst good company with the Haunted Mansion crowd here.
Yeah.
So with this Run Disney event, this is the first Run Disney event that's been since before COVID, right? Like this is
since
2017.
But I'm saying like there, because for some reason I remember did the Run events come back to Disney World first or something? Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
So
of.
Before COVID, like Gretchen was just saying, they didn't even stop because of the shutdown. They stopped for other reasons back in 2017. So this was kind of a big deal for this to come back. We assumed that it'd be coming back for Walt Disney World since they never really went away. They were paused, of course, but never, you know, they never ended them. So I thought it was extra exciting when they announced that these would be coming back. Mm-hmm. And they just announced that not only did we have the race this weekend in the spring, there's also a Halloween race in the fall, too, that they... Just
and I'm sure Alex has already signed up for that because Haunted Mansion, probably Gretchen too.
February 13th, we're all going to be there ready to jump into the virtual queue.
We're going to try to do the challenge. We want all the Halloween medals.
Wow, there you go. So before we get into this past weekend, let's kind of talk about just running in general and kind of how you guys both got into it. Because I think it's really interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing or hearing both of your perspectives on the race because, Gretchen, you are a runner. Like, you have done races, you have done all sorts of stuff, whereas Alex, this was your first ever. So let's kind of talk about your running stories a little bit first. Let's start with Alex.
So really, I kind of started about 2 years ago, probably about, you know, 4 months where I moved from Minnesota. I just saw all the Run Disney posts on social media, and I thought that was so cool. Running through the park, seeing all the different medals you can win. And I just really wanted to get active, lose weight. So I thought that'd be a great opportunity. Start actually by doing the virtual run. Because I know if you can't make it to the parks, you can sign up for the virtual ones. They can still send you a t-shirt and a medal. So anyway, sign up for that. Kind of trained. I did like the 5K medals. And instead of running, I would just honestly walk it. Because that's all I could really do at that point. Started training each day. I actually got help from Vern. Here's his husband, Vern. So he helped coach me along the way, kind of told me how to strengthen my endurance for running. And once I moved to California, just kind of kept running there, signed up for local events, local 5Ks. That's kind of how I got into the running community. And then they announced the half marathon at Disneyland. And I thought that's the perfect opportunity to do my first Run Disney. So luckily, I had concierge James get me a spot in the race. And since then, I've been training like crazy. Building up to that 13 mile mark, and I did it, and it was just so amazing. So that's kind of like my running story right there.
Awesome.
See, I want to do Run Disney so bad, but then Alex says things like 13
about,
miles, and I'm like,
you forget about the running part when it's Run Disney.
They have like, you know, the 5K and they have the 10K. And then, like, I mean, they have people of all different ages and body sizes doing it. So anybody can do it.
Sure.
Absolutely.
How about you, Gretchen?
I wanted to give Alex some kudos too, because he ran the whole 13 miles.
Wow.
And I believe, Alex, that was your first time running straight through. Is that right?
Yeah. So before the half marathon, I was able to run 13 miles, but I would probably towards the last couple miles, I would have to stop every couple minutes, catch my breath, keep going. So this is the first time that I went all the way through. We only stopped for like 15 seconds to take a photo by like the Haunted Mansion and getting a drink of water every few miles. But I mean, pretty much I ran all the way right through it. And I appreciate Gretchen being there. She's the one that pushed me all the way. if I wasn't running for you or with you, then I wouldn't be able to finish or, you know, go without stop.
That's awesome.
So Gretchen and the Disney wins and all of that helping.
It was, well,
also, say about the whole corral thing incident?
Oh, I don't know, Alex. Are we going to get in trouble?
There was an incident,
you know,
huh?
It's after Run Disney.
There's nothing they can do now, right?
So they assign you a different corral, I think, based on like your age or if you've ever competed in Run Disney.
Oh,
before.
Yep. So they kind of
A through G.
So Vern did the Walt Disney World Marathon a few years back now, and they basically say, if you've ever run, what's kind of your time? And then if you've never run before, then I think they put you at the back of the pack, just to be certain. Yeah.
So it'll clumsily fall into people or
anything.
Well,
yeah, just to kind of help people be spread out so it's not just this kind of help with the man. It's still going to be crazy madness because it's a lot of people, but to kind of help with the flow a little, a little better.
Yeah, and so, I'm usually a solo runner. I just, you know, pop in my headphones and go. Mm-hmm. But I would say Disney is the run. And I had done the 5K on Friday, so I had a little bit of an idea of what to expect for the half. And it's, I would say, even as a solo runner, so, so magical having someone to run with, to enjoy the experience with. And since it was my first time, I didn't know what to expect either, but I kept seeing all this chatter about the balloon ladies in the back and getting swept if you can't keep up with the balloon ladies.
Oh.
And you don't know what corral you get until you pick up your bib. And I was in corral B, so the second one, which I was like super proud with. It was by far like the highest I've ever been in a race. And Alex got his and he was corral E.
Oh, yep. Probably just because it was your first one.
Yep, because he didn't have a proof of time to submit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not going back there. Those balloon ladies are back there and I don't want them to get me.
Balloon ladies.
Alex has a great pace. He's a strong runner and he totally was able to keep up with the faster runner. So we'll just say that he and I started at the very front of Corral B because he was outside my hotel room at 3:15. And I was like, let me get my shoes and we are ready to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know what I would have done just running by myself. I mean, it still would have been magical, but I mean, Gretchen made everything even more magical, like running with her. It was amazing.
We were each other's best cheerleaders. It was the best. I can't wait. I hope we both get in for Halloween, Alex, so we can do it again. So I have to say, for my running story, I grew up, and I would still say I'm not athletic at all, but I always had dreams of being able to run, like literal dreams that I would be running. And then I would try to in real life and I just couldn't. Well, I would seize up, get horrible histamine reactions. I would want to get sick on the side of the road. And when I hit 25 and I was in grad school and working full time, I decided this is the perfect time to learn how to run. So my at the time fiance, who's now my husband, was like, oh, well, I know how to run. I'll go out with you and I'll teach you. And we started off literally at 1 minute. And for me to be able to run for 1 minute was a huge struggle. And I remember the first time I ran a mile, I cried because that was a huge achievement for me. And this was when I was 25 and I'm nowhere near 25 anymore. And I fell in love with it. It's so meditative. It's so good for my mental health. I feel like the physical benefits are almost completely secondary. And then it's such a wonderful community. And I've done a lot of local runs and things like that. I did my first half marathon in 2018 after I had had my second kid. And I was feeling like, okay, I'm ready to get my body back and to, you know, really start moving again. I never thought I could run 1 mile, let alone 13. And now this was my 10th. And I had decided, well, maybe this will be my last because I'm getting older and things are hurting a lot more. But of course, it was always my dream to do a Disneyland race. Yeah. I didn't want to do Florida. From Seattle to Florida is about the longest flight you can do. So it's like a 6-hour flight and then a 3-hour time change. And with having to wake up at, 2 o'clock in the morning, I just didn't see how my body could do it. So when I saw that Disneyland was holding the race, I was like, okay, this will be my perfect swan song. This is going to be my last race, a nice even 10 half marathons. And now I'm like, no, bring them all on. I'm ready for I'm ready for Halloween. So
years from now, you and Alex are going to be on the thing. He's going to be pushing you in a wheelchair.
That's right. I actually, at the expo, I saw a button that said running grandma. And I said that is my goal.
That's awesome. Yes. So Gretchen, can you kind of talk about maybe some of the differences between other half marathons versus this? And like, well, let's start with the expo. Because that was where the race kind of started for everyone.
People were so obsessed with this expo.
The only one that was equivalent to it, I've done the Lululemon Seaweeds up in Vancouver. That one has been permanently retired. So as far as I know, that one will never happen again. But it was amazing. I mean, similarly, they have the resources to put on like a really great race with lots of swag and everything. So the expo itself, oh my gosh. Yeah, I would say it's pretty similar of just people going bonkers for any and all merch. Alex was adorable at work. And I was like, well, I'll take pictures. And he was just everything I sent him. He's like, yes, yes, yes.
I was actually working a funeral that day. And I'm just like trying to excuse myself real quick and be like, buy it. Like, yes.
It was so fun. I am a gift giver by nature. And even though Alex was definitely paid me back, I love to be able to get that for him. Yeah. And
you look like a crazy person with like bags and bags.
And I had pre-purchased stuff too. So I had my pre-purchased stuff, and then they give you a giant basket, and it wasn't nearly big enough because I was buying for myself too, obviously, and one other friend. And you know, you're trying to find the right sizes and the people who've done the races, like apparently the pins that look like medals are the really big things. So people were going nuts for those. Alex wanted the water bottle and the water bottle holder, and those both sold out. I bought a lounge fly for another friend, and that sold out. Right. The stuff that I bought for myself was just basic. And, you know, I guess nobody wanted it. But yeah, the expo was out of this world. Busy, crazy. I was there for 3 hours.
Wow.
That's not including, you know, it took forever to park and to walk over and everything. So that was just at the convention center.
Just there.
Waiting in line and shopping. Yeah.
Wow.
I obviously was not there. Just got to live vicariously through the photos that you were both sharing in our Discord community. And Vern, being an avid runner, I've been to my fair share of expos, and just seeing those photos, I'm like, this is some other level going on here. It was just, I mean, he's done big races too. He's done Rock and Roll Marathon, you know, marathon series and all sorts, you know, big, but nothing. Yeah, that was crazy. He did do the Walt Disney, I don't even remember the Walt Disney World Marathon one being that, I don't know, that level is, I guess, what I'm going to keep calling
it. I wonder if they had like extra merch because this was like they were coming back. Maybe. Like there was a lot of merch that said welcome home, you know, the race returns, stuff like that. And then there was merch for each of the distances, plus the challenge, plus the entire weekend, plus Magic Key. So each one of those had pins and spirit jerseys and jackets and, you know.
Plus all of the other vendors that weren't Disney vendors.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I didn't need that 3 hours. I did not even look at any of the other. That was literally just picking up my bibs, picking up my shirts and my prepaid merchandise. And then the Run Disney merchandise.
Wow.
So Alex, as a first time big race in person event, what were your thoughts of the expo?
Well, you know how I feel about merch. So just seeing a whole section dedicated to merch, that was amazing. And I thank Gretchen again for getting everything I wanted, because half the stuff I wanted was already sold out by a day two when I went.
Wow.
So I appreciate that. So when I went, I lined up the merch right away, and I still bought probably $200 worth of merchandise, even though Gretchen already bought me more than that. So that was just amazing, though, seeing all that different merch, especially for the different races. And then I've never been to any type of running expo before. So just seeing the different vendors, they had, you know, different shoes you could buy. I bought like the orthopedic or the sandals that you can buy for recovery. They had really cool the jelly beans that gave you energy, kind of like a pre-workout jelly bean. So then they were handing out those during the race too. So that was really cool. And, you know, they had different just items, like different charms you can put on your shoes. I had to get the Pandora bracelet. They had a charm for each race.
Oh, I missed that. Oh, shoot.
Yeah. So you can see my camera. Not that good. But yeah,
that's so awesome.
They had Pandora charms for the different races. And then what was really cool is they had, they could tape you up. So they had the KT tape stand. So I've been dealing with a lot of plantar fasciitis pain. And so they were doing it for free. All you had to do is sign a waiver. And,
oh, wow.
And you know, the tape lasts for 5 to 7 days. So mm-hmm. I actually had the same tape on during my race. So
wow.
That helped out a lot. And then just seeing all the different, you know, Run Disney exhibits too. Like there was, you know, a place that you pick up your bib, you could pick up your mobile order, which we did. And then also there's a Honda stand that a Honda car there to look at. And they had like a Percy Jackson exhibit too, where you could take your picture
that,
and they photoshopped it. You did that. Okay.
For my kids, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just so cool seeing everyone. Everyone was super excited. And mm-hmm. I was what really like made this magical for me is that while standing in line for all these little exhibits to go to, the people next to me were saying they're so nervous. This is their first race. And I'd talk with them and be like, this is my first race too. And, you know, we just kind of just motivated each other and just said, you know, we'll get through this. You know, if we had to crawl towards the end, we'll get through this. So definitely a lot of Disney magic there.
I feel like, honestly, Alex, I have ran one half marathon in my life. One. Vern has run a million and a million marathons. He is definitely the runner. But I really, to me, I can't think of a better first big race experience than Disney, because I think there's a lot of people that are probably newer or maybe not as experienced running. And it's just not overly serious. You don't feel like you have to be pushing yourself the whole time or that you're going to be left behind or anything like that, because they just, I think they do a really good job of making everyone feel kind of included. Yes, they're the balloon ladies, but but still, like, I think they do a really good job. And even from what I've seen of people that have been swept up because they do have to have a cutoff so that they can open the parks up and everything so they can close the course. But even people that I've seen that have, you know, done it and gotten swept up, they still said it was a great experience, even though they weren't able to finish. So I think that's just awesome.
Didn't you say too, or didn't Vern say when we talked about Run Disney like a bajillion episodes ago, that from an avid crazy runner perspective, like there's a lot of people who aren't running, like they do it because it's a Disney thing, right? Mm-hmm. So people like myself, I will say, who I've run, I vaguely remember, I know for sure I ran one 5K, but I think I actually ran two because I think there was another. Anyway, I think I've run two in my entire life. And so, you know, I'd like to do a Disney event to kind of experience it because it seems like there's so much stuff. And one of the reasons that I think Vern has mentioned, and hopefully you guys will explain some of this in a minute, is on the actual race, like they have places that you like stop and take photos. So if you're like trying to be really a serious time-based, trying to get your personal record and all that crap, it's not going to happen in a Disney race if you want to experience all the magic that comes with a Disney race, because you're going to stop and take a photo or you're going to look at things and not be just you know, eyes on the prize for the finish line. So
it's more about
it's for
fun.
Everybody. Yeah.
It's more about fun than seriousness, I guess.
Well, in the 5K, I don't know how we were put into Corral C, and you literally couldn't run. There were so many people. It started right at the partner statue and went toward Matterhorn and then like around towards Small World. And like, we couldn't run for probably even the first mile. So it really, and they made the announcement like, chill out. This is just a fun run. Nobody is getting PRs on this. So between the 5K and the half, I'm so glad I did both, because the 5K had fireworks, which was amazing. And the Dapper Dan sang the national anthem. And if you remember my Halloween costume, the Dapper Dans are my absolute favorite. So that meant so much to me. And they didn't show up at all during the half. And there were far fewer characters on the half. Maybe because people had less time to be able to stop and wait. Because again, like for the 5K, the first character was Goofy in Toontown. So he was kind of up by the Centennial Park. And the line for him was all the way out to like Small World.
Oh,
wow.
So I don't know how people had time to do it. But and I mean, and he was just the first. And then there was Beast and Lumiere. And it was so cute because it was all themed to dogs.
Oh,
and there was Bolt, and then there was Bone Daddy, Jack Skellington, and Sally, and there was Cruella de Vil. Nice. So there was much less theming for the half. But again, I mean, the half was so magical because you got to run through more of the parks. Like the 5K didn't go through Tomorrowland at all. And for the half, Alex, we got to go through Fantasyland and all the rides were on.
And
lights and the music were going. And then we finished by running out the castle and over the drawbridge into Frontierland. And I was just, goosebumps. It was just the coolest.
I don't know. I didn't look too closely at this. So can you kind of just quickly for the 5K? Well,
yeah, let's do the 5K.
Let's do the 5K. First. So for the 5K, like what time did this start? Where did you start? Yeah. And kind of what was the path that you ran?
Yeah, great question. Because I feel like that was so confusing and unknown to me as a non-Disney runner. So all of the races technically started at 5 a.m., but the half opened earlier and it felt much more pressure to get there earlier. And Alex really wanted to get there early. I think he woke up at like 1:45 in the morning or so.
Yes.
And for the 5K combination of I didn't know any better and I was doing it with my sister who did not want to wake up early, we got to, so I should say the biggest difference is the 5K started in the park, whereas the half and 10K started in a parking lot.
Okay.
So to get into the 5K was a little bit more challenging. We had to go through security on Harbor. And then when the Esplanade was filled, they just stopped. So we were just standing still at security for 10 or 15 minutes. And then once they opened the turnstiles to the park, then we started moving again. So technically the corrals opened at 4 a.m. for the 5K, but we weren't able to get into the park until about 4:15. And for the 5K, you were assigned a corral letter, but it was very just, you know, A, B, C up this way, D, E, F down that way. We were in Corral C, which was at the top of Main Street. And then A and B were around like up by the castle and then the partner statue. And then for the route for the 5K, it was completely in the parks, which you know, if you are a more novice runner or casual runner, you know, that's a huge benefit because there was no like, ooh, looking at the streets of Anaheim at 5:30 in the morning. So it started, it went off to Small World and then Toontown, and you cut through backstage quite a bit. And like you came back in Galaxy's Edge and then you went like, and you kept going backstage several times. The areas you didn't run on the 5K, you didn't go through Tomorrowland. You didn't go through Fantasyland other than It's a Small World in Matterhorn. And so like on the edge of Alice there. But you did all along the Rivers of America. So you went past Pirates and Haunted Mansion. And it was all lit up. There was also a Tom Sawyer's Island raft going back and forth. And we were really like, what is happening? Are there workers out there? But of course, we didn't stop to look. And like I said, Jack and Sally were at the Haunted Mansion. And then you went down by Hungry Bear and where the past Rise of the Resistance, and then you went backstage again, and then you kind of come along like where the monorail tracks are. You saw the garage where the locomotives are parked, which was super cool. And then you come in through DCA at the edge of Tower of Terror. Oh, excuse me, Guardians. That's how old school I am.
Did you guys get to go through that cool like
under the
tunnel that like where everybody walks and you don't even realize there's a tunnel there? Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. Cause it was the big hill for the race and you had to come back up the tunnel. Alex, we heard, not on the 5K, but on the half, some Florida people complaining about one of the overpasses that we had to run over. And that was the other thing. The race was so glorious for people who live in Seattle or San Francisco or these notoriously hilly places. It was completely flat other than coming out of Toontown. There was a hill and you know, the hill under. And so anyway, back to, so you went through then Hollywood Studios and that's where Bolt and Cruella de Vil were. And then you went out to the top of, oh my gosh, I can't think of the street's name, but right where the Buena Vista Street and the Dapper Dans were there singing. So of course I stopped there to listen to them. And then you ran over like Pixar Pier and around and finished right near Goofy's Sky School. And they let spectators in on either side of where Little Mermaid is. So you had people cheering for you right there. And plus, of course, the cast members were everywhere cheering for you too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I would say that's one of the biggest positive differences between this race and other races I've done is you always have people at the beginning and end cheering for you. But these races were really, even the half, we had people almost constantly cheering and playing music. And Alex and I made an effort to cheer right back at them every time and to thank them for being there because it really makes such a difference.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Alex, tell us about kind of the same deal there, but with the half.
So the half, so we started in a parking lot. So that was off, it was the Manchester, was it the cast member parking lot?
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, off Disney Way. And then we kind of went straight and we took a left on Harbor, kind of went behind and went on Catella, and then went on Disney Disneyland Drive. And then we kind of went backstage, so kind of like behind Cars Land and Pixar Pier, and kind of made our way around and then went right on stage, right by Tower. Or now you got me saying it. it's the superior version. Sorry. But anyway, Guardians of the Galaxy. And then we went through, you know, Hollywood Land, right through Buena Vista Street. And then we kind of curved. And then I believe we went through, did we go through, I can't remember, did we go through the Avengers Campus at all? And we went by.
Yes.
It, right?
Yeah, we went through Avengers through Campus and then Cars Land. Yeah.
Yep, through Cars Land. And then we kind of went right by, you know, Pixar Pier and went around Gooby Sky School, and then made our way by The Little Mermaid and then Grand California, and kind of just making all the way around DCA and then out through the hotel exit for.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah.
The Grand California.
Not the Grand, not or, like through the hotel, but.
Not through it, but.
Is it like where, like for Oogie Boogie Bash, they had like Judge Doom, like next to Soarin'?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yes,
exactly.
Yep. And then we went through downtown Disney, and then that's where we saw your family.
Emily, yes. Really they woke up so early to cheer.
Oh, that's so
fun. They had a sign and everything. And yeah. So then, yeah. And then we went, you know, through the Esplanade and right through Main Street. And that was so cool. Like I was waiting for that moment going right onto Main Street because they had the projection mapping on the sides of all the buildings there. Cool. And castles all lit up. And so we kind of, you know, made our way. I'm just kind of looking at the map so I remember where we went. It's such a really cool thing that we did. So, yeah, went through like Tomorrowland, went around like the Matterhorn, that back area there. It was really cool. They actually had projection mapping on the Matterhorn as well, too.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
So, and it was that cool, like that different coloring that they had for the theming of the half marathon. So, you know, kind of went through Fantasyland. It was really cool. All the rides were all lit up and still going. It kind of was cool and eerie at the same time, too. Going there, the teacups were just going. No one was there.
Yeah. So.
And then we kind of, you know, went through the castle, through, yeah, Frontierland. We went through Adventureland, kind of by Pirates area, New Orleans Square. Went right by the Haunted Mansion. We had to stop and take a picture at the Haunted Mansion, of course. So I was kind of sad, though. I was really hoping that they'd have, like, the Hitchhiking Ghost or something, or Jack and Sally, but there's no one there. So we stopped real quick, took a picture, you know, kind of went wrapped around, went that way to Galaxy's Edge, took a photo by the Millennium Falcon. So had to get a picture there. And then from there, we went backstage. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah, the rest was the streets of Anaheim.
Well, actually, we went through Toontown, though, too, I guess.
Oh,
we
that's right. Yeah, that the hill.
Back into Toontown. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Pete was in Toontown.
Nice.
So people were lining up to take a picture with him. And then that's when we went backstage again. And then that took us to the streets of Anaheim.
Very
cool. And then from there, it was the different landmarks of Anaheim. So that was really cool, too. I've never actually been back by that side of Anaheim. I didn't even know that existed back there.
Got a little tour of the town while you were running along as well.
It's crazy. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, there's houses here. There's a stadium. Like, crazy.
Yeah, we went around Angel Stadium and Honda Center, which will always be the pond for me.
Those things will be used a lot more, I think, for D23 this coming year. Mm-hmm. So
it's kind of funny, 2 hour we're running too, because we're running through the train track, so they have like the signals going, so the whole time we're just like, is there a train coming? But they just did that to like warn that, you know, no trains can go through. So
and of course every time there was a bump or a dip, you had cast members, you know,
like
careful here, Kim, you know, with the lights and everything. It was so well staffed and safe and
there's a pothole, be careful.
Yeah,
they really were. Yeah. But even with all of that, right when we were finishing, like right before the finish line, lady right in front of us crashed. It was scary. And my family only saw the lady crash, and they were like, where were you? And I said, well, I was right behind her.
Oh, geez.
But we all stopped, and she was fine. Like, she was videoing and just, you know, in the excitement, lost her footing. So, but she was fine.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Where was the finish line?
The same parking lot.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, though, because the volume of people that they had going over the start and going over the finish.
And with the time, they delayed the opening of the parks until 9 that day. But even as it was, I was back at the hotel, showered, packed up, leaving, and there were people still finishing the race at like... I don't know what time that was, 9:30, 10 o'clock. Alex, I know you were already in the parks at that point. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, there's no way they could have ended it in the park.
Yeah. Wow.
No.
I'm honestly surprised that the 5K had the start and finish in the park just because that's just, I mean, I don't know if they ever tell you exactly how many people were at these events, but it's like you said, they've filled the entire Esplanade with people trying to get in, and just the corrals was all the way from the castle down Main Street.
Down to the train station, They announced at the half, of course, a lot of people weren't able to finish for what reason or another, but 14,000 people signed up for the half and 25,000 runners for the total weekend. So I don't know whether that, like, for someone like me, if that counts as one runner or two, I'm guessing that's one, because I think there were a lot of people who were doing multiple distances. Yeah. Wow. So 25,000 people for the weekend, which brings me to my number one tip. That if you want to do one of these races, you have to get in, just like you're trying to get Oogie Boogie tickets or, you know, back in the days when we were getting Rise of the Resistance virtual queue, to be on right when it opens and click that button. And then it's just luck of the draw. You get assigned a random number. And when your number gets drawn, that's when you can sign up for your distances. And as it was with my family, we had multiple computers going. By the time one got picked, the Dumble Double Dare was already sold out.
Wow. Geez.
So, and also my tip is, do not bother buying prepaid merchandise, because that slows you down. Like, I had the yoga in my cart and I was trying to like buy some merchandise, and then by the time I check out, yoga was gone.
Oh no.
Because you can order the prepaid merchandise afterwards.
Oh,
so and I had no idea that you could do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so just get the race takes stuff. Me back to the first time we signed up for D23,
because were panicking with me, like, we're like, what merch do we want?
Do we want merch? And then we got realized we're like, we did not need to panic and worry about that. Yeah. There's plenty, like, maybe not the same exact things, but plenty of opportunities. You're not going to go away empty-handed.
Yeah. Random quick note that I just want to say, because I was surprised by this. So I was looking at maps for the 2024 races, and it looks like, according to this, the corral area, that cast member parking you were talking about, Alex, it looks like they actually opened that area where they had demolished that hotel to like kind of enter that way. So I was like, oh, they finally used that kind of area for something.
There you go. So we were talking about how there's all sorts of characters during the 5K. So what were some of the fun non-character things you guys got to see that maybe normal park guests don't get to see this time of year or randomly throughout the day?
I know what Therese is asking. Therese is asking if you saw TikTok or...
Let them tell us what they saw.
So I know we got pictures in front of, there was the Haunted Mansion float from the Oogie Boogie.
Yeah, from Frightfully Fun.
From that. Yeah, we got our pictures in front of that, of course.
And they had the mayor's car, too, in the parade.
Ooh. That's right, yeah.
Very
they
cool.
They had Moana floats.
Oh, see, I didn't even see a photo of that.
They had a whole village of Bugs Life characters, I'm assuming from Bugs Land, that were set up back where, like, behind where Bugs Land would have been.
Oh. That sounds sad.
That is.
I know. I even was like, R.I.P. Bugs Land.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, poor Bugs Land. Heimlich.
There was no Heimlich. There was, like I mentioned, the my favorite was seeing all of the locomotives parked in their garage. That was really cool. There was a vending machine. The one thing I thought was really funny, and this is a total Disneyland dork thing, but I think you'll appreciate it. Backstage of Disneyland, the speed limit is 15 miles an hour, but backstage of DCA, it's 14.
Well, that's because the parking structures, it's 14, too.
The parking structures are 14, so I don't know why you get to speed in Disneyland, but everywhere else, you have to slow it down a little
bit.
That's
funny.
I don't know. One of the main reasons I would run a Disney race is to get the backstage experience. And I know most people that work there go, like, it's dirty. There's it's just buildings. Like, who cares? But that's not the point. The point is you're not supposed to ever go back there.
Well, and every other time I've ever been back there, Ted, because I was back there with band and I feel like I was back there some other time. You're not allowed to take pictures at all. Mm. And this was a free for all. You could take all the pictures you wanted. So.
Wow. See, oh, that's really why there's a time limit. They want to make sure you're not lingering too much.
I've done fitness classes in the parks before, you know, like the boot camp and the power walking and stuff. And you're not allowed to take your phones to that either. Oh, wow. So this was literally the only time I've been able to take pictures, you know, in the forbidden zone.
Yeah, I feel like most times they stop short of just putting a bag over your head and like walking you through where you're supposed to go.
Alex, what were some of your favorite things that you saw along the course, whether it was Disney specific or once you guys got into like the streets of Anaheim? Was there any cool
stuff? I heard there was a lot of cool people cheering people on the streets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was just really cool because I thought I was really nervous that as soon as we leave Disneyland, it would be just the streets of Anaheim, just the businesses, that would be it. But I mean, the whole way, the whole distance, like I think half of it was outside Disneyland and everyone was cheering every corner you'd go through. And then there'd be like a lot of cowbell going, and they had a lot of local, I think it was local bands, but they had a lot of bands there just playing music.
That's awesome.
A lot of radio stations there being like, you're 8.5 miles, you know, like keep going. And they had marching bands too, which was really cool. And I think there were like college marching bands too, or at least the bands, because it was really impressive how they were playing.
Wow.
So it's just cool seeing all that stuff. And then also the refreshment stations were amazing. I've never been to a race where they had refreshment stations. So they had two options. You do Powerade or water. So I did both, and they were giving out those little flavored jelly beans too, which really helped get some energy along the way.
Yeah, I thought that for races they just give you water. That's cool if they give you like a Powerade.
It depends.
Or something.
Yep.
Yeah, and then at the end they gave you a whole bottle of Powerade, a whole bottle of water, and then a little snack box, which is. I honestly, I don't know about you, Gretchen, but I ate every snack in that box. Like, I literally, as soon as I like got my medal and found my friend, I just sat down and just started eating everything. So I was just hungry.
I ate my banana and then I saved it and I went into the parks and I had, no joke, 2 buckets of popcorn, a bag of beignets, and a mint julep.
There you go.
Gretchen's living her best Disney life right there.
It's like, this
it's
is why I run.
Tasted so good. I all literally had snacks. A guy turn behind, because of course we're all wearing our medals in the park, and a guy in front of me for line for popcorn, he turned and he's like, did you just run a marathon? And I was like, well, it was a half marathon. And he's like, well, aren't you tired? And I'm like, no, I'm hungry.
Too funny.
So Alex, you also posted in the chat these photos that you took in front of the castle with like your medal. Like, did they have special like they knew people were going to be there with their medals, so the photo pass people were catering to that?
Yeah. So because it was my first, you know, half marathon, and especially at Disney, I wanted to take a picture of my medal from the castle. So as I was waiting in line, one of the photo pass people came up to me and they said, hey, like, make sure you ask for the special magic shot, because that has Mickey and Minnie with the race medals and everything. So it was really cool. I asked for it, and, you know, they did the pose of me running and they're running next to me, and I thought that was just really cool to add to the picture. You know, it wasn't just me with my medal. It was also Mickey and Minnie next to me as well.
It's so great. They're great photos.
I'm telling you.
And I found out about it because of Alex. So I was able to do the same thing.
That's awesome.
Mean, that's nothing better than, you know, how wonderful the photographers are there. So it was a great shot. And then to add in, that extra magic.
Well, and the other cool thing, these are the first photos I've seen since they shifted the photo pass photographers to the sides instead of right in front of the drawbridge. And
it looks good.
I mean, it looks like you can hardly tell if there's other people in the park, the angles that they're taking now. I mean, even the people you can see, it's not nearly like what it was, where it was almost a little like too distracting. These are gorgeous.
Yeah, I think it's better.
Super glad that they shifted these
and
over.
The line, I don't know if it's because it's not right in front anymore, but there was like hardly any line when I got mine. I'm not sure about you, Alex.
I don't know if people don't necessarily realize that they're still doing photos in front of the castle, since it is tucked to the sides a little bit more. So pro tip for anyone, you don't have to be a runner to know this, but look on the sides of the castle now, because it's over kind of by the benches is where they're taking the photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something, Alex? Sorry.
Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember what I was going to say, but yeah.
Well, was there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about that we didn't talk about in terms of the race weekend?
Or any advice you have for anyone that's thinking maybe, like Tag, someone that's maybe not, you know.
I wouldn't go that far. Not yet, anyway.
Some, you know, somebody that may be on the fence or is considering it, but might be a little nervous.
I would highly, highly encourage anybody and everybody who is interested to do it. I am 100% confident that if you can walk, you can do a Disney race. The amount of endorphins, I was so, usually when I do a race and there's pictures, I look like I'm in pain. And I feel like everyone that the photographers on the route got, other than the ones where Alex, they got one of like both of us looking at our phones. It was amazing. Other than that, like, it's just pure joy radiating. Like, there's so much positive energy. This, for us, you know, for all of us, it's our happiest of happy places. And to be able to have such a unique and special experience, you can do it. I was talking with ladies who had to be in their 80s who were doing the half marathon.
Wow. Yeah.
And
that's incredible.
They were like, oh yeah, we didn't train at all.
Like, here we are.
Oh, God bless you. I love it. I would say the hardest thing for me is the wake up.
Sure.
I woke up at 3 one morning, at 2:45 the other morning. And I was very grateful. So I did the 5K and then I had a rest day and the half. And that worked really, really well for me to catch up on my schedule.
Yeah.
But the idea of being able to do all three is super, super tempting. So, Alex, do you want to do all three for Halloween?
I want to do all three just for the medals, too. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Because then you get an extra challenge medal, too. So that's 4
exactly.
medals.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The medals are a cool design too.
The Disneyland half marathon is gorgeous. It's, I think we talked about it prior in the show, but it's the classic Disneyland D with the castle and then Mickey and Minnie running out from the castle. It's it's beautiful.
It looks heavy. Is it heavy?
It's very heavy.
Yeah.
I wrapped mine in bubble wrap to put it in my carry-on. I'm not checking that in my suitcase.
No.
Awesome. What about you, Alex? Since now that you've done your first big in-person race, any advice or any thoughts you'd like to share with others who might be considering the same?
Oh, yeah, of course. You can do it. I mean, if you don't think you can, you obviously can. Because if you look at me, about a year or 2 years ago, I could barely even run half a mile and I just ran 13. And, you know, you don't have to run the whole thing. Just enjoy it. That's the main thing I got to keep telling myself. It's just, if you're at Disneyland, it's before the park opens. You're backstage, like, just enjoy yourself. If you want to go wait in line, take a picture of the character, just do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's so magical, because you know that magical feeling you get when you go through Disneyland. Just picture that, like, before anyone else is in the park in the morning, all the lights are still on. And then you're just running, so you're getting that runner's high as well. So it's just mixing all of that, you just get a huge rush of endorphins.
I might have to sign up for one of these 5Ks, I'm telling you.
Do it. And then just a couple of things to keep in mind, too. Like, obviously, if you're at Disney before the race, like I was at Disney a few days before the race, just pace yourself. Don't do, like, try not to do park open, park close, which is very hard to say because I always do that. So this is the first time I went to Disney and wasn't at park open at all. I slept in, got my rest. You know, don't overdo it on all the food. Because after you run that race, then just go at it. Have like all those churros you want, all this Mickey Sundays, everything. So that's what I did, and definitely it's a fun time. Just enjoy it, you know, try not to worry about it. And then as far as sleep, make sure at least a couple nights beforehand you get sleep, because the night before you'll be too excited. Like I left the parks at 5 p.m. had every intention of going to bed at 6, and I was too nervous and excited. I didn't get to bed until about 10:30 or 11, so, and I was up at 1:30. So,
and then you were over banging on Gretchen's door.
I texted her. I'm like, are you awake? And then I'm like, I'm outside.
I will tell you, though, one of the reasons that I'm encouraged by this is it's a weird mental thing for me, is I feel like looking at the course route, and it may be different the next time they run it or whatever, but knowing where you're running and knowing Disneyland, and Disneyland feels so quaint that I look at this map and I'm like, I feel like the for like the 5K that it would go so fast, because Like, we walk around, when we're in the parks, we walk around Disneyland, like, and it doesn't feel like anything. But, like, just being able, like, I just feel like it would go fast. Like, there's so much to look at. You don't realize how far you've gone. Yeah. Like, there's so many things to distract you. The two 5Ks I did, one was here in town, and it was just running around downtown. And I'm like, yeah, there's a building. There's a building. And then we ran one in James's grandmother's, like, small town in the middle of Wisconsin for the 4th of July. And that was the same thing. It was kind of, like, out in the middle, like, cornfield. Like, you have no concept or anything to, like, distract you. So all you're thinking about is, like, I'm uncomfortable. I'm tired. I'm out of breath. What are these people doing? Like, I feel like at Disneyland, I'd be so distracted by everything before I would know it. I'd be at the end, and I'd be like, I could keep going.
Then you should sign up for the half, Tash.
Yeah, but see, the half takes me into all the weird streets of Anaheim, and I feel like that would be harder to be distracted by.
One thing we haven't mentioned, Alex, is the costumes. The people came up with the most amazing costumes. We had Jack Sparrow run past us once in full looking for rum mode. And I mean,
like
Alex
a runner?
And I were keeping a good – yes, he was – we were keeping a good pace, and he just smoked us. And he was in full wig and hat and pirate costume. And people were in, like, onesies, and we had a Tinkerbell with the full wings and the lights. And we had Cusco and Yzma and Kronk. That was so funny. I have never, again, like, I'm not, like, a super strong runner. I have never done a race where I'm, like, feel great. Like, this one, I could have just, I felt like Captain America. I could do this all day. It was so entertaining. The endorphins were really flowing. And I had a great running buddy in Alex. So it was just perfect. So you can do it, Tag.
So I think what you're saying is we need to run with the two of you.
There you go.
Because
and I'll circle you and you can do it. Come on.
And I look like I'm dying. Does this encourage you? Like, would this be something that maybe you and I could, like, train for, and then 100%. Like we could do it together?
If I did a half marathon just in lacrosse, looking at not very exciting things, easy. This is easy.
Oh, you're going for the half marathon.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
We don't want to start with the 5K and then work our way.
I could run 13 miles and looking at nothingness and running alone for most of it.
Halloween next, I feel like it's highly motivating for all of us.
And the park will be all decorated for Halloween.
And the medals are going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. So,
It
will be.
I don't think I can commit to that soon, but
someday you'll put it on your Disney bucket list.
It's on my list.
If not, there's always the balloon ladies that you can hang out.
There you go.
The 10K doesn't look bad.
No, there's not very much out of the park time.
The 10K might be the good, like, middle ground.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So
when we did the half at mile 5 is when we left the park. So, I mean, that's only another mile to go.
Sure.
So.
Do you guys have any of your documentation, photo evidence of all of this anywhere online if people wanted to kind of go see it, like on any of your social media or anything like that, where people can go kind of live vicariously through your past run Disney escapades?
Alex,
we can cut this if you don't.
Otherwise, Alex, what did we do? I'm trying to remember how we did this for the museum. Did you make a shared Google album, and then we just shared the link to that?
Yeah.
Maybe that'd be easier, so then you don't have to post a million photos.
Well, I was just thinking it'd be cool for people to go see stuff, because we see it in the Discord.
But. Yeah, so what we did when you were gone, Alex was on and talked about the Walt Disney Family Museum, and he created a Google album and then shared the link so that anybody that had the link could go out and look at the album to see all the photos instead of...
Are you cool? Are you too cool with putting photos together in a Google album?
Are you okay with...
I already have a Google album that I shared with Alex, right? And Alex, did you add some photos to that, I hope?
I haven't yet, but I will.
Now you have to, because you're going to share it with the masses. No,
what I'm saying is that an okay album to share with the listeners, or is there like private stuff in there you'd rather make something different?
I'm almost positive. I'll double check, Tag, because I have one for, because I was with my family for the whole weekend and nobody needs to see, my Mexican dinner that I enjoyed the night before. But the one that I shared with Alex, I'm almost positive is just from the race. So I think that one would be great. Yeah. Okay.
If you have a public link that you can send to us at some point, maybe when you land or something, that'd be awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. No, we can definitely put that together.
Perfect. So we will get an album link for everyone if you want to live vicariously through all the amazing photos these two shared with us during their past weekend. We saw a lot of these in Discord, so I was definitely like,
yeah,
quickly going on and jumping and checking to see like, okay, what are they up to now? What are they doing now? It's very exciting. So thank you both of you for keeping the Discord community updated with all of the fun. And thank you for sharing some of that with the rest of the listeners, too.
And maybe encouraging us to go do something healthy and outside of our comfort
zone. Man, I think the photos I've seen of people that did the yoga in the park, that looked... It was, they were doing yoga right in front of the castle.
That's not backstage, Teresa. We got to do the race.
It's not backstage, and it was cold for Southern California. I mean, this is a, you know, former Wisconsin girl. 40 degrees doesn't sound that cold, but when you're not moving, when you're just standing still in the pitch black of night, it was getting cold. So,
So maybe not as magical. Got it.
No.
Still magical, but just not the same level.
I bet in September it will be great. It's a little bit warmer.
There you go. So as we wrap up, we'll kind of end this how we always do. If you could work at Disneyland, what would you do? Sky's the limit. You could even make something up. So Gretchen, we'll start with you.
Well, my dream, and I sort of live it out already, and I know half the people say it, but it's so true, is to be a tour guide.
Yeah.
I have a running document of tips and tricks and where the best bathrooms are at Disneyland. That I love sharing with, especially up in Seattle. When I lived in California, everybody knows it already, but folks in Seattle, not so much. And I always say, if you need a tour guide to go with you, my services are free. So
I'm there.
Yes, it's either that or being custodial and just picking up trash. If I don't have to deal with the bathrooms, I love collecting garbage and walking around and talking to people. So
I love
Gretchen, we may have to have you back on to talk about your tips and tricks for the park. I think that'd be a good episode.
There you go.
How about you, Alex?
I'm going to make up my own. So I want to be the main caretaker of the Haunted Mansion.
There you go.
I knew it.
Everything about it. Just, you know, if I want to, you know, work the attraction, I'll do that. If I want to, you know, be maintenance, I'll do that. Walk it, you know, day and night. I just want to be the main person in the Haunted Mansion that does everything.
Wow. That sounds like a very Alex answer.
So then
for
you'd be like in charge of like new spirits coming and all that fun stuff too.
You know, exactly. Yeah. Everything about the Haunted Mansion, I want to be the head guy for.
There you go.
If anything's happened at the mansion, you got to go through Alex.
Run it by me. Yep.
All right.
Well, thank you both so much for taking time out of your
your
busy Disney weekends to chat with us. We appreciate it so much. Yeah. And we're so glad that you guys had this experience. I think it's amazing that you guys got to connect and do it together.
Mm-hmm.
That's just incredible. Was this the first time the two of you had met in person too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. We met in person the night before when I brought Alex all of his swag
on Harbor.
That's awesome.
On Harbor Boulevard. Yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah. Between
That's
our
awesome.
Hotels.
And in case we didn't explain this earlier in the episode, Alex and Gretchen met through DL Weekly through the Discord community. So I think that's so stinking cool that you guys got to experience this together.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. It all worked out so well. So thank you, Tag and Teresa, for all you do, bringing us together and for letting us share a little bit more of this magical day. I know Alex has said it and I say it too. It's probably the most magical day that we've ever had.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we are going to find out the correct answers and how many of them Teresa and Tag got. How you two feeling? Do you think you knew them all?
No.
No.
Not at all.
I mean, we even answered stump to one of them, so we definitely did not.
Well, I mean, that one you definitely got wrong.
I only gave a half answer for another one.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, you surprised me. You did very well.
He's like, you got at least one right.
Which is surprising. No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm surprised.
No, this was not a bad night for you. This was good. So let's see how it went, shall we?
Let's see.
Your first regular round question from listener Elise K. What two musical instruments, or it could be said instruments of music, can be found in Walt's apartment on Main Street? You answered a phonograph and a piano. The correct answer that I was looking for was an Edison phonography, or a phonograph.
Yay.
And a Regina music box.
Hmm.
Well, I have a feeling that the next question is probably the Regina music box.
Yes, I do too.
But anyway, let's find out.
Let's find out. Your second regular round question, also from Elise K. Walt gifted one of these two to Lily and Disney.
Yeah.
Which one was the gift? It was the music box.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a tough question. I was very stuck on the instrument portion.
You just got to not overthink it, Teresa. Don't overthink it.
Yep. Your third regular round question from listener Cooper C. Who wrote the Big Thunder Mountain theme song? Written in 1979 with the intention of being performed by John Denver in a television special meant to promote the attraction's opening, it was canceled when the attraction's opening was delayed. It was written by Mr. Stan Freese. F-R-E-E-S-E.
I don't even know who that is. So, yep, wouldn't have got that right. Stan Freese.
No, I know.
Oh.
F-R-E-E-S-E?
F-R-E-E-S-E.
I feel like I've heard the name Paul Freese.
I think it was Paul Freese.
Oh, Freese.
Yeah.
And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Austin T. What are the only two types of animals allowed into Disneyland as service animals? Tag said dogs and miniature ponies, and Teresa said dogs, which is not two types of animals.
No, it's not.
Although sometimes Luna
big dogs
like
and little
animals.
Dogs.
Big dogs, little dogs. The correct answer that I was looking for was dogs. Teresa got half a point, and miniature horses.
Just, I love that you just happened to be looking this up for some unrelated reason.
Yep.
I need to know more about service miniature ponies. I got to look this up.
So according to Disneyland.disney.go.com, service animal means a dog or miniature horse that is trained to do work or perform tasks for and to assist an individual with a disability.
Wow.
All other animals, including emotional support, comfort, or companion animals, are not considered service animals.
Hmm.
Learn something new every day.
So there are people who have miniature horses or miniature ponies that have been trained to assist them with their lives.
That's amazing.
What I want to know is, How is a miniature horse or pony like a thing, but not like, I don't know, there's a bunch, or like something. A cat, yeah, or
they're just very smart, apparently.
I would say I'm not an expert, and I don't necessarily know what I'm talking about. Please don't anybody email us that I said something wrong. I'm just going off of my own thoughts, my own observations. From cats that I have had in my life, cats can be trainable, but they just don't care enough.
Yeah.
And it would be hard to make an actual service animal out of a cat.
Yeah.
Whereas I have worked with horses. I've worked at a horse ranch, and horses are very, very smart and can be taught to do tasks.
Well, I think it's kind of like an attention, you know, attention span of the animal too.
Yeah. So,
and focus.
So I could see, and I've seen service dog Great Danes that were about the same size as a miniature pony.
Yep. Yeah.
And your bonus question tonight from listener Becca C. What is the highest calorie food item at Disneyland? Both of you saying the turkey leg. This food item, coming in at 1,136 calories on average, and 54 grams of fat on average, is the turkey leg. While an actual online source of nutrition facts doesn't seem to exist, each individual eatery can provide current information for the foods that they sell, and most special dietary needs and or allergy requests can be met, as well as kosher and halal needs.
Yes, if you go back and listen to what episode was that where we talked about Disneyland food allergies?
What do you mean?
We talk about food every
episode. Allergies in the
park. You go back to episode 199, Ellie was on and talked about food allergies and how great Disneyland is. So,
Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Do you think you've got some great questions going to really stump them next week? Well, if you've got that perfect question and you'd like to hear it on the podcast, feel free to send that in to us at trivia@dlweekly.net.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
A special thank you to Sidell for editing the podcast.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.